It's so great to see everybody today. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day. I have thanking our multimedia team. On about, what day did we do the podcast, Justin? Thursday? On about Thursday, I threw a curveball at them. And we changed our, this is not going to mean a whole lot to some people, but we changed our streaming software. I changed it. And Theo, let me just say this. Brother Claude, y'all remember him. He had foot surgery, but he's a valuable part of that team, a critical part. Harold Inkey, Robert Stevenson, and Theo. And I don't want to single out any of them over above, but I just got to say I am so thankful for all of them. Theo just, I mean, we were streaming live and no audio, and he's on the table, and he comes up there, and he gets it all going. So what a blessing they are. But with that, folks, we need to put good stuff on the Internet. We need to put good stuff on the TV. And so through it, as you see in your bulletin, this is just a little announcement real quick to try to tell you some good things that are going to happen. We have two. I don't know if it'll happen for any more services or not, but through Roku, and if you don't know what these are, I'm sorry, but they're little devices you can plug your TV into. Roku, there's a Azalea City Church of Christ channel now you can go and download. And then through Amazon, and that's Fire Stick, Fire TV, whatever you have, you can go to their app store and download it. Today's worship service will be on there. Right now it's streaming on my Facebook page, which is a different thing as well. So, again, there's a lot of great things going on. And, hey, we're just trying to do our part in spreading the gospel throughout the world. And so hopefully people will see that. And we're Justin and George and myself will continue to do. They're really not podcasts. They're vodcasts, I guess. They're video podcasts. But we'll put those on there. Bible class materials. Talked with a brother this morning about some other stuff that may can go on there. We're just going to try to fill those up with good news, with good things. Today's sermon is another continuation in our series. I'm just a little loud and it's throwing me off a little bit. Sorry, brothers. I keep hearing myself and I keep losing my train of thought a little bit, so I apologize about that. But today's sermon is continuing in our series about slaying the giants in our lives. The last couple weeks, we've really harped on some things that I think will help us individually. It will help us as a church. It will help us as fathers, as mothers, as children, as community leaders, employees, whatever it may be. But today, we're going to really get internal. The other was a lot of external, complacency and different things like that. Today we're going to talk about overcoming hurt, overcoming rejection, about killing that giant that is laying there in your lives, maybe in your hearts. And so what I want to do is talk with you a little bit about what the devil wants you to believe. The devil wants nothing more than for you to walk in here today and feel rejected. You see, if you're around people long enough, you're going to be rejected. You're going to be turned down. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be left alone from time to time. And that happens in our workforce. That happens in our schools. That happens in our communities. And unfortunately, it probably can even happen in our churches. We get rejected. Somebody may not ask me to serve, or somebody may not ask me to do something, or what have you. And even if I've expressed that desire, sometimes it gets overlooked. Whatever the reason it may be, sometimes I'm going to be rejected. But here's what happens with that. You know, and I tell people all the time, if you're depending on me, okay, I'm going to be the best I can possibly be. Now, my best may not be the same idea as your best, okay? There may be different standards there, but Terry Cagle's best, when I lay my head on my pillow and I go to bed, I'm going to try to give God my best, okay? Now, with that said, if you are depending on me, I will fail you because I am a human and I make mistakes. And there are other humans around us that make mistakes. But the devil wants you to allow those mistakes to think that God has failed you. And let me tell you this, God will never fail you. God will never fail us. And we need to understand that. But the devil wants you to feel alone. Okay? When you're out on an island by yourself sometimes and you feel like, hey, I'm rejected and I'm hurt and I'm emotionally scarred and everything else, I'm just sitting like this guy on this pier facing nothing else but water and I'm just on an island alone. And you feel very worthless. I feel very worthless. Whatever it may be, we feel that way when we are rejected. And the devil wants you to stay that way. But here's what I want you to hear today. If you walked in feeling that way and this is kind of ringing home to you, I want you to think about it this way. Jesus Christ in John chapter 15 verses 16 and 17, I like what he said. Here's what he said in John 15, 16 and 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Now he's talking to the disciples, but hey, we're followers of Jesus, right? That you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus Christ chose you. Amen. That's right. That means you are not stamped rejected, you are stamped accepted. Okay? Today you are accepted by the greatest acceptor and chooser and being of all time. So that means you are not alone. We're in this together. You see, when I choose Jesus just like He chose me, when I accept Jesus by being baptized into this water for the remission of my sins and I contact His life-giving blood and He has taken over my life, then I'm now part of the greatest family and entity there is. And that's the church of our Lord. And so I'm not worthless anymore. I'm very valuable. What I mean by that is this. Here's what He said about the church. He said, you're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, God's own special people. That's who you are today. So I don't want anybody in here realizing or leaving here thinking I am by man can I be rejected? By man can I feel alone? By man can I feel worthless? Certainly. The devil wants you to carry that over to God though. But by God, through Jesus Christ, I am accepted together and valuable. Today's text comes, and we're going to illustrate this by a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 10. This is what I call as textual of a sermon as there can be. All right? Well, that means we're going to read the text and draw lessons right out of it. I didn't even have to write this sermon. Jesus wrote it. Okay? And so with it, I want you to turn in your Bibles and your devices and however you turn, and I want you to turn to what may be a familiar passage to many of us, but some of you may hear it for the very first time today. Luke chapter 10 now, beginning in verse 25. And what we're going to do is we're going to read and we're going to draw points from this and we're going to see ourselves hopefully on both sides of this story. First of all, there's the group that tries to trick Jesus, right? There's one group involved in this story, verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, let me pause you right there. Let's don't ever get wrapped up in trying to test Jesus. What I mean by that is, he can't be tricked, right? He can't be fooled. And so, when I think, hey, I can get away with it, when I think, hey, I can go on this, you know, I told you the story about today if I wanted to get drunk, okay, and I'm going to, let me just tell it to you again, that way I don't leave this big hanging memory or thought in your mind. If I wanted to get drunk today, okay, I've never drank in my life, and I never will, okay, that is my stance, all right? But let's just say today I wanted to, And so I decided that I was going to go buy, however, I don't know how much alcohol would make me drunk, but I went and bought it all, okay? But in order to do that, I filled my truck up with gas and I drove until I was empty because I want to get away from all of y'all, right? So when I went in with disguise on and everything else and I bought all this alcohol, and so I then filled my truck back up with gas and drove to the woods as far as I could drive. And then I decided to load it all up and hike into these woods. I'm at a mountain now, believe it or not, okay? And so I'm hiking and I get to this mountain. And again, today's my goal is to get drunk. And so I'm going to climb this mountain now. And I get to the top and I'm going to start the getting drunk process. And I crack the first one open and I turn it up. And the first being I stare face to face is God. You follow me? I can't get away from Him. I may think I can trick Jesus. I may think, we could say that with any sin, right? By the way, I can fool a fool and I can kid a kid, but I cannot trick God, right? This lawyer thinks he can do that, but he can't. That was just an aside to the sermon. Verse 26, he said to him, this is the lawyer that Jesus is replying to, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So what does he do? He puts it back on him. By the way, it's the responsibility on us. He answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. By the way, he's just like, I just knocked it out of the park, right? I know the law. Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you'll live. In other words, if you will do this, you will have eternal life. Now let me ask you, which side are we on? Are we the ones who's trying to trick Jesus? Or are we, number two, the ones who know the book but don't live the life? Boy, that's a scary thought, isn't it? What would I be if I could stand up and I could serve as a minister, or I can serve as a teacher, or I can serve as a deacon or an elder or a very faithful member of our Lord, and I'm going in our communities, I'm going in our schools and workplaces, and I am telling people the law, the Bible. I know it backwards and forwards, but I'm not really showing the things of Jesus Christ. You see, that's a dangerous place to be. And that's where this lawyer is. But Jesus is going to tell a story now to prove to him how we must serve our neighbor. And who is our neighbor? Verse 29, he wanting to justify himself, that's the lawyer, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You ask a loaded question, you're going to get a loaded answer. Here it is. Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite. Now let me illustrate to you what that means. There's a priest who is already where he needs to be a priest. Okay, he's already filling the position, the office. But then you have the Levite. The priestly tribe is the Levites, and so that's where the future priests come from. So this could be somebody in training, it could be a son of a priest, or whatever, one of those good old PKs, right? Preacher kids, or priest kids in this case. But the point is, you see, these are religious people, leaders in the Jewish religion. This Levite comes, he arrives at the place, he looks, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you. So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now, I want you to see the story. I believe in being able to picture these things in our heads, okay? Paint the picture of the story. You have a man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. He was beaten up. He was barely alive. And then a remarkable, sad illustration of religion, of knowing the law and not knowing Jesus Christ, happens. A priest comes by. And he's like, oh no, I can't do this. He sees him and you know, it's almost like one of those, oh, I really don't see him. There's a man who needs my help and I am a priest. Let's put it in modern terms. I'm Terry Cagle, the preacher, right? So I see this man beaten up and I'm like, I'm really busy today. You know, I might get dirty. I might get a little sweaty. You know, and I can't really help him. So I got something to do. I'm busy. So I go the other way. Well, then here comes a Levite, and that's you. All right. You're the ones that, hey, we're the religious people. We're the religious tribe, right? So now one of you walk by, and by the way, I'm no different than you. You understand that, but one of you walk by and you see him, you're like, you know, here's this guy that's beaten up and he's struggling and he's hurt. So guess what? I'm going to go around him. Went out of his way, went on the other side to avoid helping their fellow brother. Justin and I have talked a lot. We read about it in a book. We've shown the videos and everything else. You remember the lady who went to the hospital? She sat at the hospital and needed help. People, nurses passed by her. She sat there and sat there and sat there until she was so sick that she fell over and died. True story. And, well, at least according to this book. Okay. This lady was in the very place she was supposed to be to get help, but nobody that could help her helped her. She was rejected, alone, and ultimately dead. What if somebody comes to us here that's beaten up spiritually, barely alive spiritually, and we, as the religious tribe, pass them by. Go out of our way to avoid them. Go out of our way to have anything to do with them. You see, that's what I'm telling you now. People will let us down. But in the story, there's a Samaritan. Somebody that you want to talk about racism in our country today, boy, I get tired of that word. You cannot turn on the television and not hear the word racism. Racism were Jews and Samaritans. Despised, didn't like, avoided one another. So that's why Jesus did a lot of bridge building instead of wall building with the Samaritans. So he tells this lawyer here who this would really wake his ears up, okay? Because he didn't like Samaritans and Samaritans didn't like him. And so Jesus says the priest passed him by, the religious tribe passed him by, but there was a Samaritan. The one who should have spit on him, the one who should have kicked dirt on him or kicked him a little bit while he was beaten up and barely alive, he's the one who helps him. So today in this story, where are we? Let's suppose for a minute now, we've talked about who we are in the story. Let's suppose now, as this lesson's about slaying rejection, that's a two-part deal, right? I can slay by not rejecting others, or if I'm rejected, I need to learn something from this. Here's what I need to understand. There's some words in this that we need to note. And the first word is but. And that is verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. This man was beaten. This man was barely alive. He had been bypassed by the priest and the Levite, but someone came to his rescue. We call him the Good Samaritan, right? The story of the Good Samaritan. Today, whichever side of the fence we are on, whether I'm beaten down or I've been bypassing, I need to change it all. I need to be that but like this guy was in the story. I need to do whatever I can to seek and save the lost. You know, that might mean that if I am the one who's causing the rejection, that I gotta clear out some clutter. Have you ever cleaned out something and like, I've been looking for that. I've wondered where that was. That's clearing out the clutter, right? Well, we got some clutter in our lives we got to clear out so that we can recognize the beaten down people. Now, let me say this. If I have been beaten down and people have helped me up and I keep getting in the ditch, then I got to quit getting in the ditch, okay? There's some people in the world that love being in the ditch. They love being rejected and beaten up and playing the victim. That's not who God wants us to be either. I need to get up and get out of the ditch, but I need to help that person up and get him out of the ditch, and then I need to stay out of the ditch. Okay? I don't need to go back down. What if the part two of this story says that man the next day went back to those same thieves and got beaten up again? Well, that would just ruin the whole sermon. We got to quit going back to the thieves. He didn't. See, this but here, this Samaritan came to his rescue, and Jesus knew we were rejected. Jesus knew we were alone. He knew we were worthless, or we at least felt that way. But here's what he said. He said, God, I'll go save him. I'll go die. I'll go rescue them. You see, today, your life, you know, it's kind of like writing a sentence and writing a paper. Such and such happened on this day, but. And it changes the whole outlook of the sentence, the whole outlook of the story. And so, here's your life. Here's the life of Terry. Here's the life of you. And we're writing, and I've been rejected, and I've been alone, and I've been worthless, but today is our but, okay? Or it should be. It should be. So we need to understand that there is a way out of the ditch. There is a way out of the mess. There is a way out of the rejection, and His name is Jesus Christ. Number two. The second word I want you to see in this story is bandaged. It's verse 34. So he went to him, this is the Samaritan, went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He bandaged his wounds. I think that's a significant word. Here's why. Because he could have just gotten him up, put him on his horse or animal, and took him to the inn, right? But he had some wounds that needed caring right then and there. Here's how I like to think of that. I am glad to help anybody you bring. Okay? I want you to keep bringing people. I want you to keep bringing hungry souls. The elders want you to, and you bring them here, and we can talk to them and everything, but there are going to be some people that need immediate help that you may encounter today or tomorrow. A bandage wasn't much. You think about a Band-Aid. I don't know what a Band-Aid would cost back then, but they just really bandaged it themselves. But a Band-Aid's not very expensive. Neither is a hug. Neither is a kind word. Neither is, hey, I'm here for you. Neither is a prayer. You know, there are going to be people that we meet that what's wrong with us breaking down the walls of separation, the walls of rejection, and saying to them, hey, I'm going to say a prayer for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give, can I give you a hug? Can I fill in the blank? You see, that's what I think about with Bandaged. Yes, he could have picked him up, put him on his donkey or animal or whatever it was, and led him on to the inn and let the doctors and everybody else take care of him. But he met some immediate needs of that man. You see, we need to meet immediate needs. There are people today that need to hear, I love you. There are people today that need to have those wounds of the heart bandaged. We need to do our part in seeing to those needs. But then there's a third word I want us to see. And that's the word brought. Same verse, verse 34. After he bandaged him, he brought him to an end. There's somebody today that needs you to carry him. Okay? And before you say, I got a bad back and bad knees, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. And I'll tell you, I've told this story a lot, and I guess I'll tell it till I die. I preached my very first sermon at 16 years old. Okay? And I thought, I'm going to be the greatest preacher in the world. I had memorized that sermon. I had practiced it and practiced it and practiced it and practiced it. Again, 16, you know how dumb you are at 16, right? A few weeks later, months later, I don't know, sometime later, Jeff said, hey, you're going to preach. A young man going to do the service. And Terry, you're going to preach. And I thought, I got this. So I didn't practice and practice and practice and practice. And I stood in this pulpit right here. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I'm teaching the truth or false doctrine or what right now. This is the most awful sermon. I'm preaching, you know, and I get up there and I shake my head. Like, this is awful. Now I'm the worst preacher in the world. So I extend the invitation, I stand down here, and all I can think about is, first of all, I know no one's coming forward, but then I don't want to wait to the end. I want to run to those doors. So nobody has to come to me and say, oh, you did a great job, because they're going to be lying and hellbound. All right? All right. So people are like, oh, I mean, I start crying, literally. My grandfather's there. I mean, people that he's my hero, my spiritual hero. Okay? He's the reason that Christianity's in our family today. Okay? And so Monday comes, and I was in school or going to work or whatever I was doing then, and people are trying to encourage me. But a lady by the name of Bonnie Harrison, a lot of people will know Sister Bonnie. Of course, that's grandmother of some in the crowd today. She was pretty much shut in at this point in her life, but she would sit with a directory and a phone, and she would call people. I have no idea if she knew I was down and out, if she had heard, or she just said, I need to call Terry. But she picked up the phone and called me, and she said to me, don't you give up. She was feeble, okay, feeble, but she carried me that day. And I'm going to tell you, of all the people that called me, I am almost 42 years old, still preaching in this same pulpit. But if it wasn't for that phone call, of her putting me on the back, I'd have probably been a construction worker. Because that's what my dad and brothers did. I was ready to give up. But she put me on her back, and she carried me. You never know what a phone call can do. You never know what a card can do. You never know what a word of encouragement can do. There's somebody out there that's rejected, that's down and out, alone, doesn't want anything else to do with church or church work or anything. Let's put them on our backs and let's carry them. Just like Bonnie Harrison did to me. By the way, there have been many others over the years, and I thank all of you for carrying me It means a lot. Just one final word I want us to look at through all of that. And that's the word back. Okay? Let me read it to you from the English Standard Version. And verse 35 reads like this. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. That's an underrated word in this whole story to me. Probably read this story hundreds of times, I don't know, in my life, right? And I think about the priest, and I think about the Levite, and I think about the Samaritan and how he picked him up and he carried him to the inn. But a lot of times I've missed that he didn't intend to leave him there. He was going back for him to check on him again. You see, sometimes we need follow-up. Sometimes we need assurance. Sometimes we need somebody to remind us that, hey, I'm here for you. I love you. And listen, folks, this is what the church needs to be. And men specifically, second week in September, we're going to get this men's ministry going, okay? And we need one another. And men, we're not really openers sometimes, but we need to do that. But here's where I want you to know. On these pews, these pews, these pews, these pews, and those pews up there, there are people that are struggling or have struggled with some of the things we're currently struggling with. Does that make sense? And until we open up and go back, or we say, when somebody comes forward and they say, hey, I'm struggling with this, we need to be that person that comes back to them and says, hey, I've been in your shoes. I'm going to put you on my back, but you know what? I'm going to keep checking on you. I'm going to keep encouraging you. I'm going to do what you need me to do, and I'm going to try to be there. And listen, folks, we're not going to do it perfectly. But I think that Samaritan taught us a great lesson in that story. You know, Jesus in John 14, his disciples were a little bummed out. They were struggling because Jesus, their hero, their best friend, the one who had called them out of their lives into a life serving Him, was about to leave them. And he opened up John 14, at least we know it as John 14. John records it there like this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms in this giant mansion, okay? If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place, and that's a personal pronoun. You put your name there. I go to prepare a place for you. And this is the beautiful part about it. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. And I will take you to that home. Today, do you feel beat down? Are you barely alive? Have you been bypassed? Let today be your but. Today, we're here to help you find the one that can bandage your wounds. If we have to bring you here, if we have to keep coming back, I want you to remember, no matter what, ultimately, Jesus is the one who's coming back for you. Today, if you need to submit your life to Him so that you will never feel rejected, you will feel accepted, you will feel together, and you will feel very, very valuable. Today, be baptized into Jesus Christ. Today, come home. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.